So here tonight, what we're going to do, we're going to dive into Scripture. We're going to dive into Acts. If you got your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 2. We're talking about moving on up. There was a show in the 70s and early 80s called The Jeffersons. Probably comes on TV land every now and then. And the theme song to The Jeffersons was "Move It On Up to the East Side, to that deluxe apartment in the sky." How many people remember The Jeffersons? Have ever laid eyes and watched The Jeffersons? That's what I'm talking about. George Jefferson, George and Wheezy. George had a string of dry cleaners in New York City, but George went from lower income, didn't have a whole lot of money, to moving on up to the Upper East Side. He had a butler, he had a maid, he had a nice apartment, he was making it. And he had a walk. Anybody know what George Jefferson's walk was? What did he do? He walked last night. What? He had some money. That was George Jefferson. If anybody recorded that, I expect it to be deleted promptly. But you're moving on up. You seventh graders coming on in. You're moving on up to the next level. You're leaving children's ministry and Pastor GJ and all the children's ministry are moving on up to youth group. And that's a little bit intimidating, a little bit scary, right? How many of you guys, if you were honest, across the board, adults even, when you first came into your youth group, when you were seventh grade, how many of you were a little scared and intimidated? I was a little nervous. I remember going up there, I was in children coming up, and youth group stuff, what do they do? You know, where do they go to camp, and they have all kinds of fun, they eat pizza a lot, you know, they do fun stuff. I remember that. It's intimidating. But you guys are moving on up, but you seniors, yeah, you 11th graders, you guys are moving on up too. You 8th graders, everybody look here, pay attention. 9th graders, you're moving up too. You're moving up to the next grade. According to Cornerstone Student Ministry, you guys are officially 7th graders. You guys are officially new 8th graders. You're officially 9th graders, 10th graders, whatever. And you seniors, you're college. I mean, you seniors, we got seniors in here tonight, you college students. For the summer, you've moved up already. But you're going to the next level. We do that in a lot of areas of life. We move up to different things. People in jobs move up in promotions. Remember, I got promoted in a job one time. I was all excited. I got moved up. We do it as from youth to children, from children to youth to teenagers to young adults to grown adults, right? We move up in different stages of life, move up to the next level. And tonight, that's what we're going to talk about in Acts chapter 2. We're going to talk about moving on up and what that looks like in this stage of your life. We're going to talk about four different areas of that. We're actually going to look at one verse tonight. It's one of my favorite sections of Scripture, but one verse. We're really going to focus on Acts 2, 42 tonight. What does it look like to move up to the next level? Thank you, Pastor Keith. For some of you newbies and new folks, these things are called cell phones. And I know, they're crazy. I know, these things, you can do all kinds of stuff with them. But I understand you probably use the Bible on your app. That's cool. We really choose to ask you not to do that. We pray you just turn them off, you know. If your phone rings in the middle of a merge, it better be Jesus calling you. Because I have been known to answer, and I have been known to talk to whoever it is on the other line. So it hadn't happened in a long time. Pastor Keith may not know that, but I have done that in the past. I've grabbed a phone and answered it. So please just turn them off. You don't need to be on it. It's a distraction. You don't need it right now. Your mama don't need you. She knows right where you are. You were safe at church, all right? So let's just turn those off. And if you don't have a Bible, you're getting one tonight, you new seventh graders, yay. And you older students, if you don't have one, we got some in the back for you to use, all right? If you older kids, students, if y'all don't have one, Julie's got to go get one. That's okay. It's all right. Some people don't have a Bible. You need to have one. It's all right. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. We simply move on up in different areas of our life. It happens. A lot of people for graduating seniors are moving on up and going to college. That's exciting. It's a sad day for some. I had a parent text me today. And her child will be a senior next year. And she said, I'm going to need Prozac next year. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. I can't. She's crying for people she didn't even know. It ain't even her daughter. It's Emily's mama, by the way. Miss Kara was like, I'm going to lose it next year. And I can understand that. Some of these parents in here, it's coming soon. And it's a new time and new thing. But so often, we don't like change, do we? Who likes change? Some people, not many hands went up. A lot of people don't like change. When change happens for others, it often gets us gets us thinking about our lives. With the new seventh graders moving up into this journey into youth group, we all remember what it was like. We all remember what it was like moving up into seventh grade. It's an exciting thing. I'm excited for you guys to be here. I'm looking forward to hanging out with you guys. I'm looking forward to rafting trips and hanging out at swim parties and going to camp and goofing off and playing games and playing Nerf Wars. Can we just get a shout out to how awesome Nerf Wars was last Wednesday? Where's Mr. Jim Shoemate? He's back there too. Who played Nerf Wars last Wednesday? I mean, I twisted my knee, stubbed a toe. I went home limping. I had a blast. That was fun. Seventh and eighth graders, we played that. That was fun. But tonight, we're going to focus our attention on verse 42. Turn to Acts chapter 2 if you're not there. And we're going to look at this awesome section of Scripture. I'm going to read it all, but we're just going to focus, like I said, on verse 42. And it says, beginning in verse 42, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wondrous signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple courts together, breaking bread in their homes, and they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." But that first verse is so powerful. It says that this is the early church. The Holy Spirit has come and it's new, it's fresh. These people are just getting saved. It's a new time for them. The church is brand new. And it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayers. The first blank you have is moving on up to the next level of teaching. Teaching. I know when I say teaching, we all think about teachers. I know, school, believe me, they think the same thing about you guys too. I ran into a teacher today, and she's like, "Are you excited?" And the student went, "What? School's out." And he was like, "Oh yeah." She was like, "Ah!" You know? So, calm down. It's okay. You know, I've been in a teacher's life for a long time. My mother-in-law's a teacher. Believe me, they look forward to counting down to school getting out too. When you say the word students, they go, "Where? Where?" You know? But when you say the word teaching, we all often think about school. And this word, the word teacher, it also means preaching, which is proclaiming God's word. Teaching is the way we learn, right? When you teach, you learn. If we aren't taught how will we ever be able to do it? Sometimes we don't want to learn. We don't want to learn something, but we need to. Teaching is the primary way we learn God's word. This is what we're doing here tonight. I'm teaching you guys about this verse. In Matthew 9, verse 35, you don't need to flip there, just write this down. The reference, Matthew 9, 35, it says, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction." In Luke 4, verse 15, it says, "And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all." Here at Cornerstone, we have many avenues for teaching, many. Sunday mornings with Pastor Bill. This morning, the sermon Pastor Bill preached was unbelievable. Unreal. You guys need to be in there listening to that. You guys need to be in there taking notes. Pastor Bill, when he teaches, it's on a level that you can understand as well as any adult. Sometimes you guys understand better than the adults do. Don't tell him I said that. But this morning's sermon was unreal. I don't know a pastor within 50 miles of here who would preach that sermon as well as Pastor Bill did this morning. We have great Bible teaching here at Cornerstone on Sunday morning. Sunday nights, Emerge, me or Pastor Keith, we teach here on Sunday nights. There's a reason we gather together for Emerge on Sunday nights at 6 o'clock and teach God's word. This summer, it's been sporadic. We feel like we haven't seen you guys in a month, you know, because we haven't. But this summer's gonna get a little sporadic with different things going on, but there's a reason that we're here every week teaching so you guys can understand and learn God's word. Wednesday nights with Rooted, your small group leader, your journey group leader, they teach you there. You learn there, you gain knowledge. We take these times very seriously, and it's important for you guys to be involved in these areas of teaching. But the idea is not for you just to be here, but to take time to actually be taught and to learn and to grow. As we teach, you need to learn. I remember several years ago as I was teaching in the old youth building, there were several girls that sat on the front row, and they used to all have their journals. And I remember I'd turn you, and they'd open up, and they would write. And I remember teaching, and I remember thinking, am I really saying all that? Because they're just writing a bunch of stuff down, you know? It was awesome. They would take notes, and some of them have come to me since and said how much they've learned and how much they've learned from that and grown from that. You need to take notes. There's a reason we print the study guides for you. It's simple, but there's room on the back to take notes. When we teach, you should learn. When Pastor Bill's teaching, take notes, learn from him. I know some of you students who have questions, and you go to Pastor Bill with questions, and he loves to answer those questions. Sometimes he'll say, go ask Pastor Keith or Pastor Jason, you know, but sometimes he loves to do that. Your small group leader, they come prepared to teach so that you can learn. So as you're coming into seventh grade and you're coming into middle school and coming into youth group, these times of teaching are important. Sunday nights are important. Parents ask me, what's a key time that we do? I said, everything we do is important, but Sunday nights are so valuable in the life of our student ministry. Sunday mornings, there's a reason that we want you guys in there learning from Pastor Bill. Teaching is so very important. We set these times and areas of ministry up so you guys can learn, so please make them a priority. Sunday morning worship, emerge and root it. So the first blank, moving on up to the next level of teaching. When you were in children's ministry, Pastor GJ taught a certain way. Now that you're in youth group, we're going to teach a certain way. Moving on up in the idea of your teaching and learning. Learning everything that we do. Next one. Moving on up to the next level of fellowship. It said it here. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. We have used the word fellowship for years in the church world. It's a term we've used when I was a kid. Every church had a fellowship. Wow. Are we that removed? Tiffany, what do we have? A fellowship? A fellowship hall, okay? As a kid, it was somewhere you could go hide and where children's church was. Am I telling on myself? We had fellowship halls. What'd you do as a kid? Wow, you guys didn't do it. I'm really dating myself. Miss Tiffany, what did we do in fellowship halls when we were younger? We ate and we fellowshipped. Sometimes it was on Sunday night, the ice cream social. Sometimes it was the knitting ladies group on Tuesdays, you know? You had things. My rehearsal dinner when I got married 13 years ago was in the fellowship hall at the church I grew up at. You know why? Because it was free. And we could use it, you know? That's why we use it, because it was free. But the fellowship hall, to me, is Sunday after church. And Miss Joanne Lawson, who was in heaven, making fried chicken. Sweet baby James. I'd go, Miss, where is it? She'd go, it's that one right there, baby. Yes, ma'am. I was little, so I'd walk in there. Excuse me. You know, little kid. Oh, Miss Joanne Lawson made some good fried chicken. But fellowship hall, when you fellowship, it meant eating together and hanging out and getting to know each other. That's what fellowship is. The idea of being together and usually sharing food. It's the idea of hanging out together. Fellowship is very important here at Cornerstone Student Ministry. Very important. You'd think from 6 to 6:30 is just a buffer time to do nothing. That time is strategic. We guard that time very much so when we eat pizza, when we hang out together. We often use the excuse, well, I don't know anyone at church. I don't know anyone. And I don't want to go, right? Isn't that what we do? I don't know anybody. Think about your best friend. Think about your best friend in the entire world. I hope you have one. I do. Think about the first time you met them. Was it awkward and kind of weird? Maybe you weren't sure what's going on. Everybody's like, yeah, I remember. It was weird. It was awkward. Remember your best friend. Remember the first time you hung out together? You didn't know each other that well. But now think about it. You know everything about them. You can look at them across the room and know that they're mad. You know something's funny. They think it's funny. Nobody else laughing, but you two know why you think it's funny. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. We all been there, right? There had to be a point where you got to know them. Here at CSM, we set things up to engage you guys with other students. This is by design. Fellowship happens when you least expect it. Maybe on a winter retreat. Right? Mary Caroline and Sarah, I asked them if I could use them as an example, but Mary Caroline goes to Florence Christian and has her entire life. Sarah has gone to Sneed, God bless you, and West Florence. I always say that when people say they go to Sneed. I say, God bless you. It takes some people a few minutes to get it. No, nobody? Who doesn't get it? No, never mind. It's okay. Don't raise your hand. But these two girls, I remember, and I use them as an example for a very good reason. And actually, we've got a little picture of this winter retreat. Can we pull it up? Boom! See them right there? Look how young they are. See them right there, Sarah and Mary Caroline right here? Do you see them? Jonathan's even back over there. It's Jonathan. See him over there, Jonathan, who runs sound? But there they are. This is winter retreat. This is they're in seventh grade here, seventh grade-ish here. Look at Mary. She's like, oh my goodness, you gonna show a picture of me when I'm in seventh grade? All right, that can go away now. Yeah, there's Miss Marcy. Do you see her head where I hit her with the ball playing spider ball? That was that day, actually. I remember that very well. Who was there? Who remembers that moment? Yes, that was a very beautiful moment in the life of our student ministry. All right, so Mary Caroline and Sarah, I'm using them as an example because Mary Caroline goes to Florence Christian, and Sarah goes to West Florence and public schools, and Sneed and West Florence. And their worlds never really crossed each other. It never really would cross each other, except when they came to Cornerstone Baptist Church. And they didn't know each other before they came to church here, and they didn't know each other at all. And since that winter retreat is kind of, maybe a little bit before that, but that winter retreat is where it clicked for these two girls. And now, when you see them, where are they? Third row back, right there together. They're always here together. They come to church together. They hang out together. They go to camp together. They laugh together. They make silly faces together. They steal my iPhone and take pictures together. They have fun together. And it all became from a simple idea of fellowship. It came from winter retreat at a sketchy place in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. It was a little sketchy. Those of you that have never been there, it's a little sketchy. But the food was good. The Frogmore Stew, what? What? Who remembers that? Caleb, Teresa, y'all remember that place, right? What? It was good. Battle Ball on the Beach, right? Remembers Battle Ball on the Beach? When I beamed Marcy Miller in the head with everything that was in this hand. Actually, I found an awesome picture of Mary Caroline doing a move that, I mean, it was killer. Remember the picture? She's jumping. It was awesome. Anyway, Battle Ball was legit. We got hurt playing Battle Ball, but it was worth it. I took a lot of Advil after that. But the reason I bring that up is because these girls have different friends, and they lead different lives to a degree. But when they come to Cornerstone Student Ministry, they're friends. And it's all because their parents made them go on a retreat. Because I believe, if memory serves me correctly, maybe I'm speaking out, but Tiffany said, you ain't got a choice, Mary Caroline. You're going to church. It's going to happen. That's just like my mom and dad told me. We're going to church. 1992, Cowboys are in the Super Bowl. All I want to do is stay home and watch a football game. My dad said no. Yeah, I said the Cowboys, Keith. Yeah. They still stink. But anyway. But he said, no, we're going to church. But there's a reason for that. We set these retreats up. We're strategic in these retreats. Sometimes we hang out on these retreats. Some of the best times and best memories I have are eating ice cream with you guys, hanging out at Chick-fil-A, watching Sarah Smith drink Zach sauce, going to camp last year. I might throw up thinking about that again. You know, just goofing off, hanging out, drinking drinks afterwards, and getting ice cream when we... Eating what? Reading jokes off of popsicle sticks at Love Week. They weren't funny, but we laughed because we were tired and we were eating ice cream, you know? Getting kicked out of the mall in Georgia, right? That was, some of you old school folks remember that. We did get kicked out of a mall. Pretty proud of that, for singing praise songs. It was legit, but we did get kicked out of a mall in Georgia. But these times are strategic. We go whitewater rafting. You want to get to know somebody real well? Get in a raft with them. Get on a river. You get to know them real well. All the good, all the bad in their life, all the sin they've ever committed, you find it all out. Go to Fantasy Lake and get up on the tall tower and let Ethan Mitchell jump at you for the first time. That's a bond that Ethan and I will share forever. A bond I really didn't want, but it's a bond that we do share nonetheless. Chandler Sims, all day long. Chandler, Chandler, Chandler. Finally. Chandler gets up there and went off the swing like 10, 15 times after that. These are things that we can't recreate here on Sunday nights. These are things we can't recreate. Losing Ryan. Losing Ryan. I'll never, ever, I'll see Ryan Staley in 30 years, and I'll remember that day last summer losing Ryan on the river in the National Whitewater Center. No, because we're not going down the river this year. Maybe. I don't know. Man. But we found him, okay? He was fine. Things you never forget, all right? Things you never forget. A bus breaking down, coming back from camp. Smelling a tire burner. You know, what? The AC going out. Tori Hewitt eating paint and looking. I'll never forget that moment. That whole Katie dumping a whole can of paint on her. Katie's right up here, you know, the love. You know, fun times. So, listen, I tell you those things for eating bad food at summer camp, right? That's a bond we will share forever. I can say this, listen, you will lose weight at summer camp. Yay, no, the summer camp we're going to this year, honestly, seriously, we all, the youth pastors, about 2-3 months ago went up there and we said, listen, we have had bad experiences with food. Before we sign anything, we want to eat. And it was a normal Tuesday or a Thursday, and it was good. And I said, okay, this is great. You knew we were coming. I went up to one lady, I said, what happens normally on a day? She goes, this is our normal food. This is what we have all summer. And we all were like, yes. So those of you that have been to, been to Wake Forest and had that awesome meal at Wake Forest, it's a lot like that. It's not Georgia Baptist Conference Center. I wouldn't feed that to my dogs. And I don't even have dogs. I still wouldn't feed it to them. That was just rough. Let's just be honest. That was rough. But listen, summer camp this year. You guys are always hesitant to sign up for summer camp because it's something new. It's something different. But let me tell you, summer camp is where life is changed. It's where you make friendships that last forever. Camp is going to be awesome this year. We are in charge of camp this year. I know what's going to happen. I know it's going to be awesome. We are our rec system. I wish I could give you guys a little heads up on that. We're going to do a World Race Day. I'm excited about that. I'm just going to tell you because I want to. Your team colors for the whole week are going to be different countries. Like, you're going to get a country bandana. Pastor Keith really wants the team to be Tokyo or Japan so they can wear the thing for Karate Kid. He wants to present it to them in a way. We were at a meeting about a month ago, and he kept talking about that. And they were like, dude, Keith, do you want to be on the Japanese team? Because you can be, dude. He was just constantly talking. Anyway. Right. Can't be. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you this, too. Little teaser. Probably shouldn't, but I don't care. Because I can. The adults are going to be the American team, and we're going to be America. Yeah, America. Yeah. I need to talk to Andrew Burkhalter about getting me some America stuff. Flames, flags, glasses, shorts. It will happen. Anyway, but listen, summer camp is going to be awesome. It really is going to be a great experience. The place we're going to do camp, it's really nice. It's clean. The dorms are awesome. The facility is new. Pastor Chris and I went last Thursday to go look at some worship stuff for him. And he walked in and he went, really? The speaker system in it is nicer than what we have over there in our worship center. He was blown away. I mean, he was just shocked. He said, oh, we're going to rock this out. Yes, sir. That's going to be awesome. So it's going to be a great experience. If you haven't signed up for camp, do it now. Go online, sign up, pay your deposit. If you sign up now tonight, you're going to be saving $50. Your parents are going to want to do that, I promise. So those things, rafting in a few weeks, June 12th, when we go rafting, that's a great time to connect. Sarah's giving her mom a dirty look because they're going on vacation that week. I'm sorry, Sarah. I'm sorry. But we are going rafting. We're going to go down a zip line. We're going to go rafting again. We're going to have fun. Those are memories. Some of you middle school boys, you remember we rented bikes that day, and we rode bikes around that place like forever. That was fun. You know, getting mud all over us. Me and all you boys, that was fun. Watching Pastor Keith squeam and squirm on the ropes course. Oh, my God. Oh, boy. How? This old boy. How? You know, the whole time. That's what he said. How? This old boy. I got a good Pastor Keith impression, y'all. If you ever want me to do it for you, I did. I did it for somebody the other day. We're like, oh, that's really good. Anyway, no, I'm not doing it right now. It's got to be the right moment. He says that old boy a lot. He says, dog. We all got our things. Gee whiz. Anyway, those things are important. As much as teaching God's word to you guys is important, as much as you growing in your relationship with the Lord, because you're going to look back one day on your life and you're going to remember those trips. You're going to remember those funny things. You're going to remember those silly things, playing battle ball on the beach and having a blast and reading jokes off popsicle sticks at Love Week, or getting paint dumped all over Tori because we all remembered that. You remember these things. You remember stuff like that, okay? It's important. Fellowship is important. I've spent a lot of time there, but that's important. Going rafting with middle school and high school, going to these pool parties, hanging out next week, next Sunday, pray no rain, at the Waldrop's house. That's a blast. They've got a killer pool with a diving board. Hello. Come on, people. We jump in stuff. We dive in things. Yeah. It's fun. We will jump in inner tubes. We will have fun. So listen, be here for times of fellowship, whether it's eating pizza on Sunday nights, cookout, pool parties, fall retreats, rafting trips, summer camp. Be there for those things. There are tons of times we have for fellowship. Tons of times. We do this so you guys have times to build these relationships with our youth group. I mean, if you went to the middle school retreat last year and got on that ropes course, you will never forget that death-defying act that you did. That was scary. I still think about that and get scared. You know, when I did that ropes course. Why I did that ropes course? I don't know. Whew, man, that was scary. I might need a moment. That was scary. All right. So Number three, moving on up. So we got fellowship, right? Moving on up to the next level of in breaking bread. What does breaking bread mean? It has two meanings in this verse. What is one of the meanings it has in this verse? Who? Where? Katie, what'd you say? Sharing what? Sharing is caring. Okay, what does breaking bread mean? It has two meanings in this passage of Scripture. Not everybody at once. What does it mean? All right, I'll give them to you. Two things it means. One means the Lord's Supper. It means taking the Lord's Supper. All right, we do that here at Cornerstone. That's something we do as an ordinance of the church. We do that here. We don't do it as a youth group. We do it over there in the worship center with our elders and Pastor Bill. We do that. That is one meeting in this verse, but the other one is just simply eating together, sharing a meal. Eating together is something that we do a lot of, and it really has an important purpose. We often see Jesus doing this, eating a meal with his disciples. In Matthew chapter 9, let me read that for you. Matthew chapter 9, in verse 10, it says, "And as Jesus reclined at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples." He was eating with these folks. In Mark chapter 2, Mark chapter 2, verses 13 through 17 says this, "He went out beside the sea, and the crowd was coming to him, and he was teaching them, and he passed by and saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting by the tax collector booth, and he said to him, 'Follow me.' And he rose and followed him, and as he entered and reclined at his table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners were there reclining with Jesus and his disciples. There were many who followed him. And the scribes and the Pharisees, and they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, 'Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?' And Jesus heard it. He said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I come not to call the righteous, but sinners.'" He's eating with people. He's eating with sinners. He's eating with tax collectors. He ate with people. Think about every important event in your life. Weddings. Some of you guys have to go to weddings. One day you'll be in a wedding. Someday you will get married. And then after that, you will be in more weddings. And then you get the phase of life where I am, where all your friends are pretty much married, and it's a good thing. You don't have to rent any more tuxes. Weddings. Graduations, birthdays, funerals. What'd you guys do today? Graduates. What'd y'all do when you got done over there at church today? What'd you come over here and do? You ate. What do you do at weddings? Sometimes you eat good. Sometimes you're like, man, they're some cheap people. All right? Let's be honest. Come on. Let's be honest. You go there, you're like, what kind of food we gonna have? You get there, you're like, man, little cucumber sandwiches and pimento cheese cut up and some cheese nips and some mints and a cheap punch. Come on. You know? I went to a wedding in Virginia Beach one time, had a full sushi bar in every corner. I was like, son, yes. You know, my wedding, we ate good at our wedding. It was good. I taste tested the food beforehand. It was great. People had a good time at my wedding. But you eat at Thanksgiving and Christmas. What do? You eat. Birthday parties. Where are we going out to eat for your birthday? Where are you wanting to go? You know, you go where you want to go on your birthday, right? Don't you? My kids, Chick-fil-A. Me, Percy Wheelies for a steak. Boom sauce. But what do you do at big events in your life? You eat. Graduation parties, you eat. Funerals, okay, here we go. Funeral. What do people do at funerals? You eat. They bring you more food, and then you get more Kentucky Fried Chicken, and then you get more Kentucky Fried Chicken. And if somebody else shows up, guess what they got? Kentucky Fried Chicken. It's just what you do, especially in the South. Can we bring you some food? Do y'all need more to eat? Do y'all need more? No! I'll never forget it as long as I live. 2 days after my mom's funeral, I'm at my dad's house, and I'm walking around. I'm hungry. He said, son, open the fridge. Boom, it was a wall of KFC. And there was biscuits and gravy and coleslaw and chicken legs and chicken fingers. It was all in there, and sweet tea. I mean, it was tons of food. But every major event in your life, you eat. And who do you eat? Hold on, Ryan. Who do you eat with at most of these occasions? Family and friends. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's not good. Depends on your family situation. Depends on if that cousin's coming or not. You're like, oh, Lord, you know, he's coming. You know, we all got one. Some of us have more than one. But we eat together, and we break bread together. Shh, shh, shh. Some of my best memories of my family, of my mom, is around food. Some of my best memories of growing up as a kid is around food. What I joke about the fellowship hall, what I remember about that food, certain people bringing certain things. Christmas time, my aunt is required by law, because it's stated that she brings her meatballs. It's just required by law. My Aunt Jackie is to make her pound cake. It's required by law. If it doesn't happen, it ain't Christmas. You know what I mean? Food is, that's, anybody got something like that, that if you don't eat it at Christmas, it's not Christmas. My mom's nut cake used to be, she made this great nut cake, you know? But that's what we do. We eat and we fellowship together and we share memories together. Certain foods will remind you of certain things about your childhood. And we do that here as a youth group. Sometimes we eat just to hang out and eat together and laugh together. Some of my favorite memories with youth group has been times we've eaten a meal together at fast food, you know, Chick-fil-A, Zaxby's, because that's where we like to go. That's how we roll. You know, heaven forbid we travel on a Sunday and then we got to find something else to eat, you know. But Chick-fil-A, I mean, I have fond memories eating with you guys in booths and laughing and joking and, you know, getting extra food and eating at the sketchy McDonald's in Sherrall, middle schoolers last year. Remember, we took the weird road back and there was nothing to eat. Who remembers that? And we ate the one McDonald's where it was like 50 flies, you know? Ugh. Anyway, you have these memories. Or eating on a camp or a retreat. Middle schoolers, retreat, last year, fall retreat, that lady to cook for us, what was her name? Miss Cleo. What? Son, you high schoolers missed out for not going. Miss Cleo could cook some food. I'm going to tell you what. It was legit. We need to take time to just eat a meal together. We need to take time when we're eating together, just hang out. We encouraged our adults, our volunteer leaders, to not hang out by the bar when we're eating, for them to come out and eat with you guys and hang out. Some of my favorite times is when we've broken bread together and just eating a simple meal together. Simply taking time to share a meal with your friends here at CSM. When you take time to get to know them better, it's so important. When we travel and go places, sit with somebody you don't know real well. Get to know somebody new. Simply eating a meal together. Number four, moving on up to the next level in prayer. Moving on up to the next level in prayer. That's the four things they did in this verse. Is they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to breaking of bread, and then finally into prayer. Prayer is simply just a conversation with God. We need to not only pray about ourselves and for ourselves, but also our church family. Prayer is vital to our spiritual lives. I pray for you guys all the time. You seniors this morning, I thought about you guys. I prayed for you guys on the way in. You seventh graders, you've been on my mind for a long time. I've been looking at a list of your names for months now. Months I've been looking at your name on a list and just reading them and praying through them and realizing who some of you were and who your parents were and how I knew you and how I was excited you were coming up. And just, it's an exciting thing. Prayer is so important. In Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, it says, Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Two nights ago, a lot of you know and have been praying for my son Matthew, and I thank you for that. A lot of you have called and texted and told me you're praying for my little man, and I appreciate that. He's doing okay, as well as he can do to be a 2.5, almost 3-year-old with type 1 diabetes. His whole life changed, our whole life changed last Thursday, 2 weeks ago. And so we always pray before we go to bed, and he'll do his little hands, you know, and he'll pray and laugh, and then he'll, amen. He's got this big old amen he does. And two nights ago, we've been having to sleep with him, and we probably will for a little while just to figure out if he's okay at night. It's mostly his mama. She makes me do it when she's not there. I don't mind, though, because he's cute. Miss Shannon Carr gave him a little dog and a little Harley, a little tie thing. And he'll say, Daddy, me Harley? Me Harley sweep. And he'll grab Harley and he'll lay down and go to sleep. It's adorable. Anyway, we're in bed. I said, Buddy, you want to pray? He said, Gah. For some reason, my son is Swedish and German. He likes to say the word Gah for yes. We're not sure. Gah. You know? It's cute, but it's not. You know? He'll say yes if he has to. But he said, let's pray. I said, who you want to pray for? He said, my son doesn't speak real well. He says, Daddy, pray for me. I was like, oh, buddy. He said, diabetes. And I went, oh, my gosh. I mean, I'm seriously laying in bed like bawling. He said, I pray for mommy. Me miss mommy. I said, okay. He said, I pray for Gran. I said, who else? He said, Bella and E. That's his sisters, Isabella and Elizabeth. And I said, you want to pray for all that? He said, mm-hmm. And I start praying. He said, Daddy, hold on. He said, I pray for Papa Howard. That's my dad. And then I said, you ready? He said, yes. So I prayed. And that just absolutely melted my heart. Absolutely melted my heart. He wanted to pray for me, him, his diabetes. So sweet. Prayer is powerful. Prayer changes things. I remember us coming over to the Hub 2 years ago now on a Sunday night, and I had a bunch of neon cards. A lot of you were here for that. And we wrote prayers on paper. It was Construction Zone Central. There was no electricity. There was barely any walls up. We had a roof. And they're all in these walls, all around. I remember putting them in. I remember putting, this was before the stage got moved. The stage was going to be over there. But I remember putting several cards behind that thing right over there. I remember putting cards over the doorway as you guys, as people came in the door. And actually, I remember seeing one because Pastor Chris and I had to run a snake for this thing. And I'm in the wall looking down. I saw them. I take a picture to see stuff where we're running the snake down the wall over here, and you can see the cards lined up. They're all over this building in the walls of prayers you guys wrote for this building. It's a building. There's nothing special about this building. Well, there is because it's our student building. It's awesome. But it's just a building. We wrote prayers for that. I remember coming over here and doing that. I remember us praying together. I remember us singing songs of worship together in here. It was hot. But I remember doing that, how powerful that was. We must move to a new level in our prayer life as we move to the next level this summer. You seventh graders, you're moving into a new thing. Some of you are intimidated, you're scared, that's okay. And that's absolutely acceptable. But jump in head first. Jump in the deep end. We're here to catch you and have a blast together. These older students are going to show you the way. They're going to help you out. You're going to not know what we're doing sometimes or what happens here. These veterans, these old guys, they can show you. They can tell you what happens, how we do things, what we do, what it looks like. They're more than willing to do that. They're more than willing to wear their name tag right where they're supposed to and lead by example. Right, Tori? Right? That's what we do. But jump in. Jump in this summer. Be here. Beat the door downs to be here on Sunday night. Be here on Wednesday night. We're not doing small groups on Wednesday nights this summer. We're taking a break from that. We're going to do some fun stuff. We will start our small groups back in the fall. And you will be put in a small group. You saw that small group come up here around Haley just now. Pray for her. We've had small groups love on each other and do fun stuff together. So what are you going to do as you move up the next level? You seniors, you got a summer left. How are you going to influence this younger crew? You juniors, you people that have been around a while, how are you going to influence these younger students? How are you going to help them out? Are you going to lead by example? So as I finish up, this summer, as we move to the next level, whether it's moving into seventh grade or getting ready for college, we all have the opportunity to move to the next level in our relationship here at CSM. And when I say CSM, I hope you guys know I mean Cornerstone Student Ministry. That's who we are. We are Cornerstone Student Ministry here. We have four ways to do that. Through teaching, through fellowship, through breaking of bread, eating together, and through prayer. I challenge you this summer to find ways to plug into those areas. Look for ways to fellowship together. Look for ways to engage in teaching. Find ways to eat a meal together and hang out. And look for ways to pray for each other and pray together. We're going to do that right now as we close. I hope I have enough Bibles. If I could get a couple ladies to help me up here with these Bibles, just to kind of pass them out. We are going to do, what we're going to do is I want all of our first-time seventh graders to come on up here. We're not calling you out. We're not going to do anything. This is a very special moment. I want you guys to come on up here if you're a first-time seventh grader, and I pray that I've got 40 Bibles because there's a bunch of y'all. I think I should be good. But what I want you to do is I want you to get a Bible. It's yours. Merry Christmas. Happy birthday. I hope I got 40 Bibles. These came on Amazon. Ordered them, Amazon Prime. They were here in 2 days, and I didn't pay for shipping. Thank you, Amazon Prime. A little plug there. Everybody got one? Who doesn't have one? And if you've got another Bible you want to bring, you can bring it. You can use this as a study Bible. Do we have enough? Cool. I want you guys to come on up. Come on down. Come on down here. Come on down. Come on down. Lise, girls, Mackenzie. Y'all come on down here. Kind of clump up together. Here's what I want us to do. Y'all come here as a little circle right here together. Right here together. I'm excited you guys are moving up. I love all y'all. I know a lot of y'all real well. Some of y'all have been on mission trips together and stolen oranges with Graham. Actually, it was my wife and Graham who stole oranges. I was against it and his dad was against it, but we just let him do it anyway. They didn't steal, they just grabbed an orange. Our car smelled awesome. So here's what I want to do. I want you guys to move on down a little bit more. I want you guys to be in a little group circle right here. Come on down. Come on down. Come on. Come on. Y'all were tiny too. I got pictures. All right. Now, this is going to be a little tricky, a little hairy. This is what I want you to do. I want all of our students to now come up. All the rest of our 8th grades, who's ever going to just come on up. Come on. As best you can, lay your hands on each other. Y'all come on up in the middle here. Shh, come on up. Shh, hey, let's do this quietly. Shh. Come on up. Now I want, no. Just squeeze it all in, Put your hand on somebody. Now I want all of our adults to come on up. Shh. All of our adult leaders, come on up. Come on up as best we can. Here's what I want to do. I want you guys to look around. Look around a little bit. This is your youth group. Listen. No talking. This is your family. This is your crew. These are the people you look forward to seeing. These are the people you hang out with. These are the people you go to camp with. These are the people you laugh with on buses. These are the people you watch movies with. These are the people that you have fun with. These are the people that you cry with. These are the people that you do rec games with and get wet together and soak Miss Keisha at camp again this year, because we're going to do that. These are the people that you have a blast with. This is your family. Pastor Keith and I, we love you guys. We're excited to see you guys moving to the next level. You seniors, we got a year, and you know, it's time to move on. We love you. But you, like Parker, where is he? Still here? He left. He can come back and see us, you know? But I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to close this out. Parents are lining up. Take your Bibles home, guys. We love you. Be back here Wednesday night. Bring them back with you. Bring your Bible with you, all right? No phones. Bring your Bibles with you. This thing with paper that we have, you know, this thing I just gave you, bring it. Shh, I know. But listen, come back. If you didn't get a student calendar, grab one on your way out. If your parents haven't signed you up for camp, let me know. I'll do what I did to Jessica, and I'll get your mom, and we'll have a little talk, you know. But sign up for camp. Sign up for rafting. If money's an issue, and if you can't afford to go, tell me you're Pastor Keith. Don't let that be a reason for you not to do anything with us this summer. Because I want to hang out with you. He wants to hang out with you. We want to fall out of boats with you and get wet. We want to jump off of things with you. We want to ride to camp together. We want to hang out with you together. We want to do those things. You know? We want to do those things. And these adult leaders will be with some of this too, and they want to do it as well. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to be done. Take your Bible. Enjoy it. We love you guys. We're excited you're here. And let's have a great summer together. All right? Can we pray? Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, for what a big Sunday, Lord, with seeing some of our students getting baptized today. Lord, what an exciting moment that was. And for our graduate service, Lord, seeing our graduates honored here at Cornerstone. And Lord, for our tonight, for our 7th graders moving up, moving on up. Lord, leaving children's ministry, moving into middle school and youth ministry. Lord, what an exciting day. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be able to lead. I thank you for the opportunity to be here and to get to share life together with these students and adults. God, I speak for Pastor Keith and myself right now when I say we give you this summer. Lord, we give you as simple as an event as swimming next Sunday night at the Waldrops and what fun we'll have there. We give you an event like summer camp where lives will be changed forever at summer camp. Lord, we just give you this summer. Everything we do, every time we get and travel, every time we break bread together, every time we fellowship together, every time we learn together through teaching, and every time we pray together, Lord, may it be honoring to you. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this night. We thank you for how we're going to impact your kingdom through what you do through us this summer. And it's in your name we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Love you guys.